Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Black Expat. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. So, it is now March 2018, March the 2nd, one of my favorite days of the year. Why, you ask? I'm not really sure. Maybe because March the 2nd has been one of the days, or actually the date, every year where I've always done something unique, something different, right? Something big. Whether it's planning a trip to a place I've never been, whether it's accepting a new job, whether it's been actually going, to a different country for the weekend. March 2nd always seems to be very special for me in some ways, right? So today I want to talk about something that, you know, has kind of been on my mind. As you guys know, I've been back in America, speaking with a bunch of different people, talking to my friends and family, right? And it's one of the questions that, you know, I keep getting asked, or one of the many questions, but, and I also keep asking in return is, you know, what do you travel for? Right? And I've kind of touched on this, why I travel. Again, I love everything there is to love about traveling, right? I like the food. I love the atmosphere. I love walking through the airport. I love getting on the flights. I love asking to be upgraded, even though most times it doesn't work. Every step of traveling I enjoy. I enjoy it even more when I am traveling with somebody I enjoy traveling with, right? So I podcast before about who's your ideal or what's the perfect travel buddy. Mine is my best friend, Patrick. We can travel. We've traveled to maybe more than 25 countries together. Spent hours on airplanes, hours in hotels, and hours in hostels and Airbnbs and whatever. Like, we've done some of everything together. So when it comes to traveling, like, that's the person I would look to and say, hey, wherever I'm going, if I'm going somewhere, I can travel with him. On the female side, I've traveled with, you know, females as well. And Lacey will be one of my ideal travel partners. Real laid back. We did a 10-day road trip through New Zealand with her. It was amazing, right? So for me, I need somebody that's laid back. As laid back, if not more than I am. But also, if something comes up, can get things done. But for everyone else, right? The question is, what do you travel for? And some things come up, right? They've said the gram. Some people travel, and this has been real, actual conversation. They travel for Instagram. It's like, oh, man, sometimes I get tired of putting up pictures of myself on Instagram all the time, or I get tired of putting up looking at everyone else's Instagram when they're traveling. So I travel to be able to put things on Instagram, or, you know, today with younger people, it's Snapchat. For people, you know, our age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, Facebook. So they travel specifically to put things on Instagram. And I'm like, wait, so like, what kind of photos? They're like, oh, well, that one beach photo, right? So you pull up at your resort, and your resort connects to a beach. And I walk down on the beach, and I'm sitting there, my legs glistening, chest glistening. If you're a guy, and you know what I'm talking about. And it's just, I just love that. I just love that, right? Me, again, it's not what I travel for. It's not even what I do when I travel in regards to taking pictures of myself on the beach. But it's interesting to hear these different perspectives on why people travel, or what they look forward to doing when they travel, right? And to kind of counter that, during that conversation, I always countered with, well, could you travel and not take a single picture? Like, could you go somewhere to a different country, a different place, a different state even, right? And not take a single photo, right? In reference to anything that you're doing travel related, right? Could you tell people but not broadcast it? Like, could you go, hey, I'm going here, and then that's it? They don't know you've gone and came until you actually got back. And I asked that question. And then, you know, and then when I asked the question, they immediately asked it back to me. And I said, well, you know, for me, like, my job is promoting a certain type of travel lifestyle, right? And since I'm promoting that type of travel, you know, lifestyle, I have to post photos of things, right? And well, what I post isn't necessarily, it's not necessarily what other typical travelers or first-time travelers or frequent travelers would post, because I'm actually aiming to convey a particular type of message, you know, when I travel, right? I mean, I'm either exposing people to a different type of living environment by staying in this particular hotel or this particular hostel or this particular Airbnb, or I'm trying to show someone different airlines to travel on and what it's like traveling on this particular airline, what the seats look like, what is economy, what's the difference between economy and economy plus, what's the difference between budget airlines in America versus budget airlines in other countries, right? So there's a lot of different things that I try to do through my photos. But one of the things that were frequently coming up during the conversations I've been having is for the gram, for the Snapchat, for Facebook. Now, it's not everyone's not out there saying this. Some people are just saying, well, I travel just because I like traveling. I post photos because I like doing it. And it's just what I want to do. So, and the reason why I bring all this up is because I kind of want to focus on a very important, you know, topic for today. It's when is the best time to travel? Right? When should people be actually looking to travel? What are some of the patterns associated with frequent travel? Like, we all know, and if you're from America, that the heaviest travel seasons are doing Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, right? Literally, I was looking at flights for someone around Thanksgiving time, all booked. Thanksgiving time is one of the busiest travel seasons of the year, probably the busiest. I'm not really sure. The busiest. I'm not really sure. Don't quote me on that. But it's a very busy travel time for people in America. College students are going back to be with family. Employees and employers have days off, like they have the weekend off. Black Friday, a busy shopping season, right? So there's a lot of reasons people are traveling. Like people from overseas, expats like myself, are flying back to spend time with family. Right, and again, we celebrate Thanksgiving for the familial aspect, not from the historical aspect, because we all know how wrong that is. But yeah, so I mean, it's one of the busiest travel seasons. But yet, people still try to travel outside of the country, not just back home, but outside of the country to different places during some of the busiest travel seasons throughout the year. Right. So one thing that I ask, and you know, it's been kind of coming up, you know, frequently, is what's the benefit of vacationing when everyone else vacations? What are the pros and cons of traveling when everyone else is traveling? Like, is it connected to the fact that, oh, cool, if I'm traveling and someone else is traveling, when I'm posting something on social media or when I'm talking about it with my friends or in my group chats, we can all share experiences and people feel more connected to it. Thus, the conversations are more full. I'm getting more dialogue about my experience. People are actually curious about what I'm doing because they're also doing the same thing. Whereas if I'm not doing the same thing as them or they're not doing the same thing as me, then they're less likely to engage because either they're busy with work, they're busy with family, they're busy with kids, they're just busy with life. And talking about how much of a great time I'm having isn't really, you know, something that they want to do, right? Because again, like imagine, because I can relate to that, because when we're in Taiwan, we get Chinese New Year off to travel, right? And it's basically most of the month of February, like a good 2 to 3 weeks. But in Taiwan, everyone in Taiwan and in China and wherever they celebrate Chinese New Year, Vietnam, or the Lunar New Year in those places, they all travel. So it's busy travel season. But for us, we can go anywhere where they usually... There's busy travel season for them because most of them are going home. Similar in America, during Thanksgiving, people go home. They're going home, but we're going to their homes, like places that they're from. But we're also going to other places like Australia and then Africa, South America, or back to North America, where it's warmer, not where it's cold. Or if you like the cold as well. But, you know, during those times when we're traveling in the month of February, February isn't a high travel season or travel time for people in America. So looking at us, like, oh my God, Carl, where are you going? Yeah, you know, I'm going to Paris. You know, I'm backpacking through Europe for 2 weeks. I'm backpacking through Cambodia and Thailand and, you know, and China. It's very inexpensive. It may seem like it is, but it really isn't. You know, and people, and we don't get that much dialogue because this is not what everyone else is doing, right? It's not their travel season. Some of them can do it while they can do it. It's not that they can't. It's just not the time that they choose to travel. So our dialogue during that time is very limited. It's a lot less for a lot of different reasons, right? I'm from Chicago. My business partner is from St. Louis. It's cold outside. It's cold. And it's primetime television time, right? So most of the TV shows air during this time are award shows, like, you know, seasonal specials, Valentine's Day. I mean, there's a lot of things that goes on during that time that occupies people's mental space. The holidays just concluded. Tax season's right around the corner. They're planning their money. They're recovering from Christmas and from New Year's and from partying. So, I mean, there's a lot that's going on. So it's harder for us to relate, meaning to what their experience is, and for them to even want to engage, because they're like, oh, either we just did that or we're not interested in that because it's not our time. So, I mean, yeah, of course people still like it. They still ask questions. They still engage, but not nearly as much as when we do these things, when we travel to different places and take these long extended trips where we're very active on social media, you know, very active on emails, active in group chats during the summer, like it's a complete 180 almost, right? Because everyone else, like even if they're not traveling, there's just something about the summertime. There's something about warm weather that really, really, really changes people's attitudes, their mentality. I used to have this thing about people from California. They always appeared to be a certain way to me, right? They had a certain, you know, aura about them when I met them out in different countries, in Paris and in Morocco. And I met a few of them while I was traveling out in Spain. And they always seemed, I'm like, man, like, how can you be that happy? And of course, this was during the summertime when it was warmer in those places. But they coming from a warm climate and spending more time there, because in Taiwan, it's warm, but it rains and it gets a little bit chilly. It gets cold in the houses. But, you know, I'm like, man, like, why are you guys always so happy? Like, you just seem like you're floating on cloud nine all the time. Not because you're smoking marijuana and you're high, but, you know, just because, like, you just seem happy. Like, what is up with that? And I started running ads, advertisements for the company, and it would do very well in California all the time. It would be hit or miss in the Midwest during the winter seasons. And again, some people, they're like, man, during the wintertime, they're looking forward to summer. But the time when that starts, it's like March, April, once it warms up a bit. When it's cold and vacation is, they've already used their vacation days for the holidays, they're not even thinking about those things. They don't even want to see it. Subconsciously, some people just don't even want to see it because it's like, man, it's depressing. Now, I get it. I mean, I can't go on vacation, using my vacation days. I don't want to use them until April, May. And here it is, January, February, March. And I got to go to work every single day. Rain, sleet, snow, black ice, sunshine, doesn't matter. I'm at work. So, you know, and I say all this to say, you know, the benefit of vacationing when everyone else vacations is in today's society, in today's world, in my opinion, is the level of interaction you can have with others, right? Because I think most people like sharing their joy, sharing their happiness, being happy for someone else as they're happy for themselves. And there are a few better ways to do that. There are a lot of ways to do it, but few better ways to do that than when you're on vacation, living it up. Right. And most people, especially as you get older, you like to take, not even as you get older, but just in general, you like to travel with other people. And most other people are more open to travel in the summertime, whether it's because of their moods, because of their vacation days, because they can combine their vacation days with holidays, whatever the case may be. They're more up to travel during the summer. It just sounds like something you should be doing during the summertime. Right. And I'm talking about people specifically from the Midwest, from the East Coast, you know, where it's chilly and it's cold during the winter times. Whereas, you know, my friends from California, from Texas, from Florida, I'm like, hey, when you guys want to travel, you know, whenever, right? Because it's the weather actually plays a part in that. But, you know, vacationing when everyone else vacations, the benefit of that and in that, when you're from certain regions of the world, and it doesn't even matter because it's still warmer, you know, during the summertime for the West Coast and the South as well, is during the summertime because you get to engage with people more, right? So on peak times for travel in America is summertime, flights are beyond expensive. And I know from experience, flying back from Taiwan to America from May, June, July, August, unbelievably expensive. But literally, you can get a price for a flight for three-fourths the cost than you would during the summertime in February, March, literally, from Taiwan to America. So during the summertime and during the high peak times, everything is more expensive. And it's more expensive because everyone usually travels during that time. So as a travel agent and as a frequent traveler, what I try to do when I'm consulting people or talking to them about traveling or when they are wanting to travel, I always suggest, have you ever thought about traveling, you know, during a time you usually wouldn't travel or you've never thought about traveling during, right? And I know that there are some people who do. Some people are already like, well, the summertime is already warm in Chicago. It's already warm in St. Louis or in Vermont or in Michigan. And the weather's beautiful. And there's so much to do in my city, in my state, in my town that I haven't even done because I'm always so busy with things that I'm going to make it a point this year or every year to make the most out of my city, out of my state, out of my town and do whatever there is to do in those places and maximize my time there because there's always something going on. Now, that can be if you're in Chicago downtown, there's always a festival or there's museums to visit or there's some kind of, you know, some kind of something that's going on, concerts and plays and art shows, exhibits. There's always something going on in Chicago in the city. In smaller towns, like there's things going on in your community that you can get involved with. You know, there's kids after school programs. There's also there's different types of, what do you call those things? People go outside. There's fairs. There's things. There's always something going on, no matter how big or small the city, town, or state. There's always something going on. And there are people that say, you know what? I'm going to make it a point to travel outside of the norm, right? Because for me, like how I feel being back in January, February, March, is number one, it's freezing cold. It's freezing cold. I would much rather get on a plane when it's freezing cold where I'm at and travel to somewhere that's blissfully warm where I am. Oh, sorry, like where I'm ending up, right? So in Chicago, when it was negative 15 degrees outside, I would have loved to have 10 vacation days to just literally say, you know what? Nope, I ain't got time for this. Hopping on the plane, going to Australia. You know why? It's 70 to 85 degrees and sunny in Australia and New Zealand during blissfully winter time, blisteringly cold winter time in Chicago. I'd much rather utilize my time to vacation and to see new things and to try new things and to do new things in a completely different place that is not Chicago during that time. I love my city. And again, there are things to do in the summertime in Chicago. I'm sorry, in the wintertime in Chicago. You have Winter Wonderland, you have ice skating downtown, you have all the things that go on in the museums, indoors, you know, in the aquarium. A bunch of amazing things to do. You have the lighting of the lights down Michigan Avenue. I sound like I'm promoting Chicago now. They should pay me for this. But, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of amazing things to do. But it's cold. It was freezing cold. It was too cold to even be outside without getting frostbite after 2 minutes. And I'd much rather during those times, those moments, right? And that even happened over Christmas break where people take the majority of their vacation time. Couldn't do anything. If you have kids, too cold to go outside. Kids get sick. Yourself, you could possibly get sick. Everyone else is sick, coughing on you, germs everywhere. Hard to get around. You got to warm your car up for 20 minutes. If you don't have a garage. If you have a garage, you got to make sure, you know, you don't kill yourself by starting your car and then it filling up with carbon dioxide, right? So there's so many things you have to worry about in the wintertime. So many steps you have to take, so much more preparation, so many more things that drain your energy, so many TV shows you can miss. And I know that sounds like, oh, I wouldn't worry about that. Some people do. A lot of people do. They love their TV shows. And if you don't, you know, if you don't have Netflix or Hulu and you just rely on your regular TV and you can't record it, you don't have TiVo, missing TV shows can set you back in your friendship groups, in your conversation, in your work at work, you know, like conversation starters, you feel out the loop. That's a real concern, and I understand that. I don't do it, but I understand it. I wouldn't care if I'm going to miss an episode of How to Get Away with Murder or Shameless or Power because I'm somewhere on a tropical island eating fresh fish and going fishing and jumping out of airplanes and bungee jumping. I could care less about those TV shows. I'll catch up someday, or I have my friend give me a rundown. I'm not missing it that much as I'm enjoying my vacation time, and that's for darn sure. You can take that to the bank, right? But these are really big concerns. So for me, and the conversation I've been having with a lot of people is, you know, vacation when everyone else is vacationing, I really wanted to get an understanding. And it's not just social media. I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying people don't travel during that time because they can't talk to their friends about it and they can't seem cool on social media. No, that's a very, very minuscule, small part of it. It's not the most important part, right? It's not as important as, you know, being able to connect with people. It's not as important as it aligning up with, you know, with longer vacation times. It's not as important as being in the mood to do it. It's not as important as, all right, Christmas and Thanksgiving are past. Those are really times where I spend a lot of money. So I'm trying to save up for the summertime. I can work from January, February, and I can get through January, February, March, because I know I'm working toward this big vacation I'm taking with all of my friends or all of my family or my kids and my grandparents somewhere else in the world. I know I'm working toward that. I'm saving toward that. Tax time's coming. I want to make sure my taxes are done right. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of structure people to travel during certain time periods. And it systematically works for big business. it systematically works for big business. It makes sense for them. They know how to plan. They know how to structure things. And, you know, the world, the system in America sets things up to make you do these things, to force you to do these things because it's more convenient for them. Like, imagine if everyone was just randomly traveling to different places. The market would be crazy. Prices would fluctuate left and right. There would be no consistency for companies, right? But now they can say, all right, cool. We lower prices during this time, and then we raise them during this time to meet, again, supply, to meet demand. Raise prices, make more money, make more flights available. When we're not flying that much, lower prices, try to get people who are looking to travel, but, you know, like, man, if it's going to cost this much now, I might as well wait till the summertime to do it. Right, so it's kind of, so the world and the system in the United States in particular, I want to focus on that. And even in Taiwan, right? Chinese New Year, they know when you're traveling. They know when to raise prices. They know you're going to do it anyway because it's what you want to do. They don't make it outrageous, but it costs more because more people are traveling during that time. And yes, you can buy flights 8 or 9 months out if you really know how to schedule your time and you're really going to stick to that. And you can pay a much lower fare to go somewhere, buy your ticket in March for next January, February. I've done that before. Works out because you do save an exponential amount of money. But I really wanted to understand, you know, the travel patterns, how people see it, because I understand it from a top-down perspective. I understand the business aspect of it. I understand the cultural and structural aspect of it. But I actually want to know, because I've been consulting so many people, and being back in America has allowed me to speak to them more face-to-face about these things and really ask further questions, is the understanding why they feel like they need to or they have to, or do they only travel during these times? And then I always retort with, you know, it's less expensive to travel during off-peak times. It's less expensive to travel in February and March, flight-wise, accommodation-wise. It's less crowded when you get to certain destinations in February and March and early April. As long as you miss those spring break times, right? So you have to make sure, you know, like spring break for Ball State schools in Indiana, a lot of schools, is this upcoming week. Whereas my school was the first week of April or the last week of March. So as long as you miss those time where kids are out, right? When I say kids, college students, college kids, high school kids, you know, and their parents may take a week off to take them somewhere. As long as you miss those 2 weeks, it's usually 2 weeks, 1 week in March, 1 week in April, or 2 weeks in March, depending on how the calendar lines up. Like this year, Easter is in March. So depends on how the calendar lines up. But as long as you miss those times, those are the days to travel. Like, tell my friends, come visit me in October in Taiwan, right? Right after the September holiday. That's when you want to travel, up until 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. So you pretty much have maybe 3.5 to 4 months. Oh, I want to say 2.5 to 3.5 months of travel time that where you could be saving $300-$500 on travel. It really depends on where you're going. If you're traveling domestically, most people have points. Like you can catch deals. There are more frequent flights because it's just traveling in between America. So it's not a big deal. But if you're traveling internationally, even if you're just going to Jamaica or to Mexico or to Puerto Rico, like if you're going to the Caribbean islands, even then, traveling during those off-peak times saves you money, saves you long lines at the airport, saves you big crowds, saves you unwanted and unnecessary conversations with people, right? You may miss out on some subtle things, some subtle conversations, or you may hurt some people's feelings, or you may not be able to engage as much as you would otherwise. But you do end up saving a lot of money, of time, treasuring your experience more. Like if you're looking to travel by yourself, that's the time to take a solo trip. You're not going to run into anybody. You're not going to meet up with some friends. Oh, yeah, I happen to be in the area, too. It doesn't have to be a secret. Some people are like, man, I want to travel and it's hard to get people to go. Or I want to travel and I don't want to tell anybody. I just want to go somewhere with me and just, you know, really, really get away. That's the best time to go. I guarantee you, I don't want to say the one thing I guarantee you, but it's more likely that you'll be less bothered traveling during off-peak times and during on-peak times. In the summertime, everybody wants to do something. Girl, it's hot. Let's get out the house. Hey, bro, let's go play basketball. Let's go to the gym. Let's go do something. Let's get out the house. Easier, right? Because it's less of a struggle to make it there. You ain't got to warm up your car. You ain't got to put on coats and boots and socks and you know, and gloves and hats. You don't worry about all that stuff. You just may slap on a pair of shorts, shirt, put on some flip-flops if you have to. And then, boom, get on your way. It's so much less preparation time to get to where you're trying to get to during off-peak times, right? So again, so I want to kind of circle back to the question that I was initially asked. It's asked of a series of questions, right? It's basically, do you prefer to travel when everyone else travels? Or do you prefer to travel by yourself during off-peak times? Or with the group during off-peak times? Or with your family during off-peak times? Off-peak travel times, wherever in the world that may be for you, right? What do you travel for? For the gram? For the experience? For family? For yourself? For that one beach photo? That one drink photo with the cool-looking drink in your hand? Could you travel and not post one single picture? Could you really do that? Not one single photo or reference to anything. Just pack up and go. CPTravels.com. Could you tell people about it? Hey, I'm going to Australia next month, but then don't broadcast it. Right? Like, are these things that you could potentially do? Right? Everybody goes somewhere. Everything is booked. Is it really a vacation? If you're traveling during high peak times when everyone else is traveling, is it really a vacation? Are you really getting a break? People are like, oh, I put up in my hotel and I was looking for it and everything was booked. It was packed in there. Food lines were long. Beaches were crowded. Like, I got to meet a bunch of cool people at the bar and at the parties, but the lines for the clubs were really long. Is that really a vacation? And again, I'm not advocating for either way, because I understand now through conversation that everybody's different. For me, I like to be able to fully engulf myself in any location I'm at, any experience I'm having, in anything that I'm doing. It's hard to do that when it's crowded. That's a personal preference. I love meeting people, but I don't like meeting that many people, right? I want to make sure I take time for myself while I'm out there traveling and doing what I have to do. Right? I want to see things, but I want to see things uncomfortably. I'm not that tall. I can't see over a lot of people. I don't like going to museums or festivals in different places and it's just so crowded, right? Like the one time I went to Paris during the summertime and trying to see the Mona Lisa, so crowded. The Louvre in Paris was so crowded. And the Mona Lisa is about the size of two palms of my hand, which made it even worse. But, you know, these are things that I've just been thinking about. I kind of wanted to run past you guys, right? So why are off-peak vacations popular in the U.S.? Do people know when off-peak vacations are? Why are peak times consistently so popular, even though people know traveling during certain times is going to cost them more money? It's more expensive. Is it poor planning? Lack of preparation? Lack of knowledge? Is there something more that travel agents could be doing? Airline companies could be doing? Is there something missing that could be done better for the traveler, right? Again, from an expat's perspective, and I've had little say in planning my time, meaning that my vacations were set pretty much like most people in America, but mine are set in the fact that I was an expat and a teacher. My off time was usually during the summer and during the winter time, you know, Chinese New Year, which is winter break for them over there, and then summertime, right? But wintertime break over there isn't the same as winter break in America. So it was different. So I actually got to see firsthand, oh man, it's so much cheaper to travel during this time. This is amazing. Would I have known that had my schedule been different? It's hard to tell. Like coming back and working in America and getting 21 days off as opposed to getting 48 days off that I was used to getting, split between summer and winter. But instead of having to stretch 21 days throughout an entire year, 365 days, you're working 340 of them. Some people work, I mean, you take out a few extra holidays, maybe 330, right? But being an expat, I was working 305 to 315. Well, sometimes 290 to 305, depending on how the holidays worked out abroad. So, I mean, that's a substantial difference. And I think as I continue to go through life, I just value my time a lot more. If you don't love your job, take more vacations. Use every vacation day you have. If you love your job, really be invested in it, but also love yourself enough to step away from it and know that it's not going anywhere. Your passion in what you do in your job, in your life will shine through and you will go where you are destined to go, where you need to go, where you need to be. But never sacrifice your own sanity, your own happiness, your own knowledge and learning beyond your small circle. like your small community and your larger community. Always, always step outside of that, because it'll help you no matter what profession you're in, no matter what you're doing. So again, my question is, vacationing when everyone else vacations, good or bad? Off peak versus on peak. Why do you travel? What do you travel for? Again, I'm Carl, the Black Expat. Hope you enjoyed my spiel on this whole conversation. And thank you for the people I've been meeting and encountering that have been talking about these topics. And also thank you for the feedback on Twitter. I've gotten a lot of feedback on Twitter. Shout out to you guys who follow my Twitter handle, TheBlack_Expat. I got a lot of Facebook messages. When I say a lot, I mean three. Humble brag. I know what I'm talking about. And also the four Instagram messages I've got. Again, not big time, but I do want to thank those who have been listening and have been sharing and have been participating in these conversations I've been trying to have and helping me move forward. I appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. I hope to continue bringing you guys thought-provoking and entertaining topics at the same time. Comment below. Let me know your opinion. Off peak versus on peak. Why do you travel? Is that photo everything? Etc., etc. I'm Carl, the Black Expat. We out here.